Thanks for listening to Most Certainly True, a podcast of Grace Lutheran Church in downtown Milwaukee. It has been said that history is really His story, the story of God showing His grace and mercy to the people He has created. That grace and mercy is on clear display in the Gospels, as we see our Jesus living and dying for the sins of the world. But His story continues. The story of the early Christian church is His story as well. We are glad that you have chosen to read that story with us, as together we read, chapter by chapter, through the book of Acts. We'll review the stories of God's grace and mercy on His infant church, and celebrate that same grace and mercy that we know and experience today. We are glad to have you studying and growing with us. Here's the next episode of our podcast, and the discussion of the next chapter of the book of Acts.
You are joining us for something brand new. And maybe you know that, maybe that's why you're here, but we're glad either way that you're tuning in to Most Certainly True, podcast of Grace Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Brian Hockman. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Grace, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Pastor Jim Huebner.
Hey, Pastor Hockman. Great to be here with you and to do another podcast. And I just think this is what a cool idea that you're tracking through and figured out for Most Certainly True series that we're going to take a look at the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So,
yeah.
How are you doing today, by the way?
I am doing really well.
I'm glad to hear that. You've had a lot of fun things going on. Family-wise and everything this
May
spring.
Is busy.
Busy, isn't it crazy?
In the life of a family and extra busy in the life of a family of
Well, when you have kids who are school, school age, they're going to have this grade to that grade, this grade to that grade. And then you have significant ones where they're, you know, confirmation and move from grade school to high school. All those sort of things happening in your fam. It's pretty exciting.
So we had our kindergarten graduation.
Oh, you have to have that.
It was last evening.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Do they put on little robes on these kids?
They didn't have robes, but they did.
Oh, cute.
The bulk of the service was this back and forth between the narrator, one of their teachers,
okay.
And then cute motions about the story of David. And,
that's pretty touching. I bet that
so they march up to the front and Addison doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can tell an embarrassing story about her. She's our 5-year-old. She has had some, like, I like kindergarten, I want to stay in kindergarten kinds of emotions lately. And then they marched her up to the front, and she turns around, and she's, like, beet red, and it looks like she's about to start crying.
Oh,
we're like, oh, no, what's going to happen here? And, she made it through, and it was okay. And once the singing and motion started,
sure.
She ended up being okay. But we talked to her afterwards, and we asked if she was sad about leaving kindergarten. And she said, no, I had to go to the bathroom.
Those are the kinds of stories that when she's, 24 or 5, I don't want to, at her wedding or something, you bring that up.
We can play this podcast at her wedding.
Yeah, that's right. You can, guess what? At your wedding, I remember when you were, the chill just be all mad. Dad, that kind of thing.
And then we've got an 8th grader that's graduating, and that service is tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, they do have a, so it's a, it would be, a, now we're going to betraying where we're at. It would be a Friday, right?
So I didn't plan it this way, but we're talking about the book of Acts and Acts chapter 1 and the ascension of our Lord.
And here we are, on the ascension of our Lord. And of course, that's movable because of Easter, that it just means we have a later ascension.
This
today.
Is the way that it worked out.
The Lord will make himself invisible later than normal, but he still does. And that's pretty exciting. Well, good. That's
How about you, everyone's happy, healthy, back to normal?
Well, you're just, we in our world, in our life, you just sort of by extension watch what happens with the grandkids and stuff. So our daughter, and you know her well, has a pattern that at the beginning of a school year, and this has happened throughout the grade school days of our two grandkids up in Oshkosh, she individually lines them and then puts them together in front of, in the kitchen, they have a closet door that would be for your dry goods. It's just a nice folding door. But anyway, that's where she sets him in the kitchen and takes a picture.
Okay.
Well, this today, in fact, was like their last day. And so she had the picture of the beginning of the school year. And then now, 9 months later, the end of the school year, right next to each other. And we, Hannah and I were both laughing because you look at these. And each of them had about a 4-inch growth spurt this year in 9 months. We kind of sense that because you're at a distance, but when you see it on camera, you go, wow.
Yep.
So there's a little maturity as they move through the grades and their facial features or whatever. It's just, you've seen that with all your kiddos, and it's pretty, you're with them day by day, but we just, you know, at a distance. And
so right. When you don't see them every day, you notice those changes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's we're thankful for their health and development with our grandkids, and so it's kind of neat moving forward with that and see what the summer brings for them. It'll be fun,
absolutely,
and for us here because we have a lot of planning going on at Grace Church for a lot of big things happening. So we look to the future for our Broadway building, and we look to our anniversary, and now as we're hopefully we're not. I don't think we're ever done with COVID. We're people going to get sick, but just getting used to what this immunity or non-immunity is, and just move forward with plans for our touching lives of more people. That's just, life goes on and ministry goes on. So it's exciting what the summer can bring.
It is.
And that's sure. That's really the theme of what the book of the Acts of the Apostles is all about.
Yeah. Growth and ministry.
Right,
and
right.
God's blessing the efforts of his people.
Yeah, as our podcasters will dive in, and they're very likely familiar with the book, but it is one of those Bible books that I think over the time, you know, it just becomes more endearing for lots of reasons. You know, I have people over my ministry time, and you have too, where they are not familiar with Scripture. So where do you start? You know, and in the past, I still do would suggest, well, you want to read the life of Jesus, so you know, read like Mark's Gospel, it's the short, or Luke, and then maybe intersperse and then read John, then you get a fuller picture of it. And then, you know, read through the book of Genesis, so you get the salvation history plan and first half of Exodus, perhaps. And then you want to introduce them maybe to some New Testament theology and stuff and read, you know, like First Peter or something like that, or read, you know, you just or read Ephesians. Yep. You know, you get the Bible feel. And as you do devotional reading, then intersperse and pick out and find a favorite psalm and make that your beginning and end of a devotion, like every day for a week. And then you get familiar with one psalm, maybe even for a month. So, but it turns out as time has gone by, I've also then added the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And when you grab it and start thinking, I'm going to read through this, it's one of those Bible books, it's hard to put down because the story continues. And it's just amazing. As you look at these themes, for example, and Luke introduces it right away, having written the gospel, now he's going to finish the story about our crucified and risen Lord, and now then in the first chapter here, ascended. And he writes to this Theophilus, who's probably either an underwriter or a dear friend, who's probably got some wealth, you know, this it seems to be.
Most excellent Theophilus.
Most excellent, right? You know, so
some have wondered whether that Theophilus was code for like people who love God.
Yeah, that's what I think it means. Person,
but that know. Most excellent shirt certainly seems to be pointing at an individual.
And he's got that cool Greek name, you know, friend of God. And so did he have a Hebrew name? You know, we don't know. But at any rate, he writes for Theophilus to finish the story of what he did in the gospel account. And then for us. But it is astounding that the Holy Spirit in guiding Luke gives us already in verse 8 the outline for the book. In that, excuse me, the good news is going to go out to Jerusalem, and that's chapters 1 to 7, Judea, Samaria, the surrounding territory, which is 8 to 12, and to the ends of the earth, which is chapters 13 to 28.
It's like dropping a stone in the water and watching the circles go, right?
So you have the organization of the church, you have the transition to other cultures, and then you have the expansion of the church, those three. Right.
And I love the words there, you will be my witnesses. Jesus doesn't say, pretty please be my witnesses.
Basically you are.
Or sign up here if you want to be a witness for me. No, you've seen me and my love, and now this is what you are. This is part of the Christian life is proclaiming what you've seen. And sharing this good news.
And another great fun thing for the Bible reader of Acts, not only is this, you know, concentric circle type outline clearer and it's easy to follow, but also the theme of the resurrection. So the powerful message that they're proclaiming is not only a Savior who is our substitute in his life and death, which is absolutely necessary. We're not going to be close to God. But then to prove it and guarantee it, you have to have the resurrection. As Luke ends his gospel, now he begins the risen Christ making himself invisible, and then this becomes the theme throughout the book. And you can, as a Bible reader, just sort of take your pencil or whatever you do and even mark in the margins how many times the resurrection comes up from chapter to chapter as you go through the entire book of the Acts of the Apostles. It is the resurrection, the resurrection, yep. The resurrection, which is the foundation for our message as Bible-believing Christians to proclaim. Without it, we don't have the certainty. Without it, we don't have our guarantee link with a God. So it's just, it makes this book come alive and be so special.
Right. And that, what you just said, is exactly why in our lectionary during the season of Easter, the Old Testament history lessons get replaced with lessons from the history.
Readings from the book of the Acts. The book of Acts. Right.
Yeah. Because of that strong resurrection theme and the impact. It shows the impact that the resurrection has on the life of his followers.
Yeah. And then the life of the church, which is woven in the church here. So that's a good reminder, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that really is true, and I think a beautiful design by those who plan the church here, that we can have those Acts of the Apostles readings regularly in front of us and familiar. So, you know, you had contacted and said, let's do some podcasts on this book, and I was so eager to dive into that, and you were kind of planning, I know, in our original design, that might be a 20-minute podcast or so for each chapter. So I'm thinking, man, I already in chapters 1 and 2, I don't know how many times I preach sermons on these. There's probably got to be, and each sermon is going to be, what, 20 minutes? So I'm thinking, you know, you could.
Everyone's could just looked at the timing thing at the 20 minutes of podcast player.
You could do that on 20 like minutes, one or two
you're
verses.
Over already.
We got a whole chapter to talk about, you know? So, but, you know, Luke is such an interesting character, too, without going into a lot of details, background, but he's a traveling companion, and the apostle seems to pick him up. As you see the journeys go and read through this book, you can see suddenly there are we passages.
Yeah, we'll highlight those. The we, that's Luke, so you know, he's together with Paul on the
with a physician
series.
Background, he's got, and I mentioned this in my sermon coming up this Sunday, he has an eye for life's problems and troubles, the down and out. He understands that, and you can see, tell that in his gospel account, and you can see it here too. And as a traveling companion, he's an eyewitness of this. So I always peg that the Apostle Paul, in his three missionary journeys completed, he's arrested in Jerusalem. You know, he's taken, then he's in, he's under arrest in the Caesarea Philippi area. Finally, he takes that boat ride and then storm, and he gets to Rome. And the house arrest there is probably about a 2 year. I'm always pegging somewhere, 59 to 61, 60 to 62. And I'm thinking that Luke, who is his companion, is probably visiting and picking up a lot of this info, having traveled along with him, and then can document. So where does this book fall? And I, in my head, I just don't know if you can peg it exactly, but maybe 62 AD is probably a, you know, around that time when he could gather that information from his dear friend and mentor, Paul. It seems like a logical time for him to have this written.
Right, and then some of the things that don't show up. He doesn't talk about the fall of Rome. He doesn't talk about how Paul's story ends.
Yeah.
Those things are left unstated, which doesn't prove that it wasn't written after that. Yeah. But
you get to chapter 28, and he's in Rome, Paul's, and he's under house arrest.
It would seem like that is
it's sort of like
events. There we go.
Luke will write it. You know what I mean? He's not waiting 4 or 5. Well, he got out. He traveled, you know, so it's not in here. So that's why I kind of peg it at that date. So so how would you like to, I mean, if you're the host of this podcast, proceed, do we just sort of wander our way through the chapter?
Yeah, let's jump
have some thoughts about that. I mean, we already commented quite a bit about the opening.
About chapter 1, right?
In chapter 1. And
Luke does a great job of marrying this as volume 2 of his gospel.
Doesn't he?
Even starting out by saying, in my former book, Theophilus, and the gospel of Luke is written to Theophilus as well.
Yeah.
So you've got this overlap. He uses the account of Jesus' ascension as an overlap as well.
And he's got here in the beginning the prediction of Jesus telling his followers what's going to come in chapter 2 with the Pentecost account.
Right.
So, you know, he's got the 40 days where he's popping in and out, and Luke is referencing these appearances now before the ascension, but Jesus is saying, and you know, Bible readers and believers in Jesus, you know, that we should get familiar with and understand some of these, baptized with water and the Spirit. You know, that is obviously a reference to baptism, but also the whole work of the Spirit creating faith in us, and that we see highlighted in the next chapter when we get the Pentecost. That's what he's talking about.
The word baptism is used in some different contexts in Scripture.
Yeah.
The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks about his suffering even as being a baptism.
Can you be inundated with
the baptism I'm about to be baptized with? Well, he's not talking about what happened with John in the Jordan River. He's talking about the sufferings that are going to be poured out upon him.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, as the chapter goes on, and the disciples have these questions about, they're still, you know, locked into this mindset of an earthly kingdom, and, you know, Jesus has got to be shaking his head. So that's when he gives the mandate about the privilege they have as witnesses, and outlines what the book will be.
And I always see this as an example of the Pentecost power that gets poured out on them.
Yeah.
This is the last stupid question that the disciples ask in Scripture.
Yeah.
Maybe they asked some dumb ones later on that weren't recorded.
Yeah.
But this one, it seems like at this point, they've got this Pentecost power, boldness, confidence in rich measure.
Yeah.
They're changed men after Pentecost.
Yeah. We're saving our chapter 2 comments until then, but I have a couple of comments, but I agree with you 100%. Yeah, this is, and then, you know, one of the things here about the Ascension, here we are, the Festival of the Ascension, doing a podcast, and we're at the Ascension account in chapter 1. It's mentioned briefly at the end of Mark, it's mentioned Luke, but that's about it, and here we have it. And a lot of people have that mistaken notion that somehow, as he's ascending, going up, you know, that somehow the body of Christ, he's true man, is away from his divinity, and that is not the case. So I've tried to use language about the Ascension that is less about using those words going up, even though he did. I mean, how many feet off the ground is he before the cloud hides them? Is he 1,000 feet up or 100 feet up or 20 or, you know, the cloud high? But the point here is it's not like going into the stratosphere or that his humanity and divinity are separate. That'll never happen. He's the God-man forever. It's making himself invisible to keep the promise he made prior to the Ascension, which we have recorded in Mark. I am with you always. Not half of me, all of me. I am the Son of God and the Son of Man. I am the God-man. I am with you always. To do that, he's going to make himself invisible, and that's really what the Ascension is. It's not going away. It's so he can be closer, but invisible. And I think that's something that our podcast listeners, and certainly I would hope all Christians would have in their heart and mind, that the Ascension is not like disappearance of Jesus in the sense of far away, but making himself invisible to be closer and exercising all of his power. So that's just one of those things that I always have in mind for the Ascension, that we should keep our eyes on. He's not away. And of course, that's what they're thinking. They're looking up at heaven, and then where'd he go?
And then there's that interesting comment from the angels that he's coming back the same way you've seen him.
Yeah.
So
you'll see him visibly.
As you visibly saw him leave, you're going to visibly see his return as well. What does that mean? Yeah, I don't
well,
know. We know we'll see it. We know we'll know.
It hearkens to all the passages we have in the New Testament scriptures about the second coming of our Lord. And that's just a beautiful fit then with what you just said, that you get Matthew chapter 24 and 5 with Jesus describing, you know, the end times and the last judgment. You've got things in 1st, 2nd Peter about the last times, and you get other scripture passages about what happens at the end. We don't have all the details about Judgment Day, but here it is. As you see him go, you'll see him again visibly, and it'll be a glorious and grand day. So that is fabulous. And then, you know, as you move through the chapter, we have once again, it happens 3 times in the Gospels and it happens here. So 4 times, all the disciples are listed in their categories of 4 each. Well, now we have the missing Judas and the replacement coming. That's just an interesting account too. And Luke does here in these early chapters what the Gospel writer Matthew does as a Jew writing to Jews in quoting Old Testament scripture.
Right.
You know, that I find quite interesting too in these opening chapters. He bases his account of the replacement for Judas on this is actually predicted,
right? And if you put acts on the historical timeline in your mind that make sense, right? Yeah. This is the story of the growth of the church and the messages that are being proclaimed that this Jesus really was the Messiah that God,
yep,
that his followers claim that he was and that God sent him to be. And he is the fulfillment of, yeah, of generations worth of promises that have been made. Mm-hmm. So there's good reason that that happens.
Yeah. The choosing of the replacement is an issue that has always been fascinating to me. And, you know, they in essence, they, you know, flip a coin, draw lots, right? You know, they're looking for character and experience of people. They're not just saying any, you know, Tom, Dick, and Mary can just jump in here, but they have to be somebody who was with them and with the Lord Jesus and a witness of the resurrection.
Yeah.
So,
aren't you glad they chose Matthias instead of Barsabbas? Because then we would have had to keep Barabbas and Barsabbas separately.
And Barnabas.
yeah, just would have been way too confusing.
Well, you got Matthew and Matthias. You know, Levi, Matthew, right? Hebrew and Greek names, but Matthias is pretty close. So,
but yeah. Barabbas and Barsabbas are pretty opposites, yeah, as far as, yeah, character traits.
Yeah. I like that, and so their rank is filled out, and for the purpose that you would want, and then to be witnesses of the resurrection as the chapter is coming to a close. So, you know, you have that interesting comment about the death of Judas, which we don't get necessarily in the Gospels, and it's pretty gross, you know,
yeah,
that his guts spilled. I was like, you know, it's graphic, but nonetheless, that's there here in Scripture from Luke's account. And he probably was talking with who, the Apostle Paul, or did he talk with Peter and figure out exactly how did that happen, you know?
Right.
So
the tragic end, yeah, of, I mean, that's the reason we need a new replacement, because of what sin did and the devil's lies. And
but maybe as this podcast is going to be shortened, we've used our time in some of the introductory comments, but that's just something that I'm glad you said what you did, because it made me think, as this chapter introduces the book, it is all about the good news of Jesus, who lived and died for us and rose to prove it's true, on the lips of people going out. And this chapter then has, well, Who's the Lord going to use to do this proclaiming? He's got angels talking to these apostles, but no, they are the ones. And then, you know, you take it, it's like I'm looking at my partner and friend Brian, you know, and I'm looking in the mirror myself and I'm thinking, well, who is he using? Well, how are we really any different from Judas? How are we really any different from Matthias? We're filthy sinners as bad as they were. Now, the difference is that not in us, but the Spirit works at faith. And Matthias must have been just jaw-droppingly surprised and grateful. I get to do this? I get to tell? Who am I, other than the fact that Judas is really, I'm a sinner like he is. He didn't believe it, but it was still true. Judas is forgiven, just didn't believe it, and ends up killing himself. But really, who are we as this chapter ends? And now these messengers are going to go out. Matthias is chosen. Well, you are chosen, and so I am. I, and so are our podcast people. God's going to use crummy sinners like us, right? And he's going to use us as spokespeople to get the message. And that blows me away.
Yeah.
Just, right?
You will be my witness.
Who deserves that? Not I. Not Matthias. But we get to do it. And that's
the privilege that he gives us, for sure.
And this is
most certainly
true.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to share more about God's love with you. Check us out at www.gracedowntown.org. There you'll find worship times, our pastor's contact info, and a lot of information about our ministry in and to downtown Milwaukee. We hope to connect you to the grace of God again soon.